The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. So when was the last time you were in the hospital? Well, if you're a patient of the Institute of Advanced Medicine, it's probably been never, or possibly a very, very long time, because the Institute of Advanced Medicine has as its focus preventing the degradation of functions of your body that will ultimately lead to being able to name a group of symptoms and call it a disease. That disease progresses and your doctor says, okay, we need to get you into the hospital. And so today we're going to talk about why people might wind up in the hospital and how you want to stay out of the hospital. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. I thought you'd never get to me.
Oh, I knew you were here.
I decided to take a look at this as a way of evaluating healthcare in this country. I think as a healthcare consumer, you would say this is a good way to evaluate the how effective healthcare is, or how good it is, by keeping people out of the hospital.
They don't want to keep you out of the hospital, do they?
That's not their criteria. In fact, doctors' training is all based on taking care of people in the hospital. He really doesn't know how to take care of people outside the hospital, as evidenced by what we're about to tell you in a couple of minutes. But perhaps healthcare in this country is measured by how many prescription drugs are sold. I think some people would say, boy, that's great. We sold more this month than last month. Things are really great.
I think those people might be the chief financial officers of pharmaceutical companies.
Well, some people might say that more people are on drugs. That means people have more access to doctors, and doctors are doing a good job because all these people need the drugs.
Some people might say that.
Yeah, and I think that's it's plausible. Now,
it might not be desirable, but it is plausible.
And if that were a good approach, then you would expect the hospitals to be empty, but they're not. So I said, okay, let's see what causes people to wind up in the hospital. So this information was from AARP, which is, you know, a mainstream publication. It's not alternative at all.
Not alternative, but it is, I do think they do a good job keeping their members informed and keeping on top of important topics for aging individuals.
Do you think they have any bias?
Well, it depends. I think that they may very well have some bias because they may get contributions from pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies. And through ARP, you can buy certain types of health insurance and so on. So there is a connection with the insurance companies.
Okay, so these are reasons why adults entered the hospital, and let's see if these conditions could have been prevented. I think that's the main reason. I think, do we have Well, clearly we have the ability to prevent these things, but why aren't they being prevented? All right, number one, cardiac arrhythmias. So you have irregularities of the heartbeat, such as atrial fibrillation. That's associated with a drop in blood pressure, can lead to unconsciousness, stroke, even a cardiac arrest. In 2009, 543,000 adults over the age of 65 were hospitalized for an irregular heartbeat. I would say that can clearly be prevented. You know, one of the things I tell patients regularly, if a doctor can't prevent your need for hospitalization, how is he expected to help you once you get into the hospital? In other words, you were much sicker when you got into the hospital. When you were less sick, he couldn't do anything for you, but when you got sick, he's going to do something for you? I think that's the question we have to ask. Why isn't more being done? Here's another one.
There is a cause for this.
Well, I have to admit, though, that, I mean, as people get older and their health declines over time, yeah, no matter what a doctor does as an outpatient, there's a gradual decline. The whole point is you want that decline to be very slow. In fact, some people don't want it to have a decline. They want it to be good health until the end, and then the end comes quickly.
That one has my vote. That right. Last one.
All right. So the other one is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That's emphysema. In 2008, and now look at this number, 822,000 people with emphysema, age 40 and over, so starting at a young age, entered a hospital. Now, smoking is the primary culprit, and clearly the doctors can't be held responsible for patients who smoke.
Well, see, in this whole discussion, I think that there is part of the responsibility falling on the patients, because possibly their doctors have been giving them advice, maybe not specific instructions, but at least general advice to do health supporting things, exercise, cut out sugar, eat quality food. And the patients might say, well, I'll get around to that next month.
Remember a week or so ago, we talked about deaths for various reasons. And we said smoking, I think, was over 400,000 deaths a year. And here you have almost a million people hospitalized with COPD. Yes, cigarettes are legal. Now, I'm not saying make them illegal. I'm just saying do a better job on educating people. And maybe they should buy their own. If you buy cigarettes, there should be a rider on your insurance plan.
Or when you buy cigarettes, you can get additional insurance for your hospitalization for emphysema.
I think so. I mean, maybe that'll send a message. So the COPD, that's the emphysema, I think to a large extent is self-inflicted. The congestive heart failure we'll get to in a moment, because at the end of the day, everything is self-inflicted. If you just knew what you were doing to yourself, that increases your risk, because none of these conditions are caused by a drug deficiency. Next, you have coronary atherosclerosis, coronary artery disease, hardening of the arteries. I mean, it has a lot of different names for it. 753,000 adults over the age of 45 were hospitalized for this condition. And basically, what it refers to is a blockage of blood flow to the heart from a buildup of plaque in the coronary arteries.
I noticed that you edited that sentence, Doctor.
What did I leave out that you didn't like?
I liked that you left it out. Right. The blockage of blood flow to the heart from the buildup of fatty plaque, because I think that gives people the wrong idea that they should stay on a non-fat diet. Indeed, they need quality fats.
And if we have time today, we're going to talk a little bit about that too.
Okay.
So back to coronary atherosclerosis. So that could be a heart attack, blocking the blood flow to the heart, causing heart damage, or it could be from chest pain, in other words, angina, which is a temporary decrease in blood flow to the heart. And sometimes it may lead to permanent damage. It may not. So that's another 753. So you have those two conditions, COPD and coronary atherosclerosis, almost 2 million admissions to the hospital. Now you have diabetes. Oh, by the way, coronary atherosclerosis, is that self-inflicted or is that just a condition of aging?
Okay, I'm going to say it is self-inflicted to a certain extent because people go into the grocery store thinking that the foods in the grocery store are actually food when indeed they may be very toxic substances.
Now, mind you, I'm going through this list because the hospitals are full of people with these conditions. These are the common reasons people go to the hospital. And I'm wondering, why aren't the doctors doing a better job controlling these conditions so that hospitalization is not required? Next one, infection. Now, when you get an infection, that's a decline in your immune system. So what's the most common infection requiring hospitalization? Well, the first one is pneumonia, but another common one is urinary tract infections. And for Americans over the age of 85, there were 137,000 hospitalizations for urinary tract infections and 148,000 for septicemia. In other words, the urinary tract infection became so serious that the bacteria spilled over into the blood, and that's why you call it sepsis, and requiring hospitalization. And indeed, that requires hospitalization. But why isn't it being better treated as an outpatient? Now, here's another.
Okay, wait a minute. Dr. Slavin, maybe these people are being given antibiotics as outpatients, but perhaps the antibiotics are not effective, possibly because the wrong antibiotic is being chosen, or possibly because those people consume so many commercial meat and dairy products that they are already overwhelmed with antibiotics circulating in their systems.
Well, a couple of problems or a couple of reasons. I think sometimes the reason is patients delay being seen by a physician when they have a problem. And I can understand why they might want to delay, but find the physician that you agree with. Now, I have to tell you that the patients we see in our office, you mentioned never need hospitalization. They might if they fall and hurt themselves. But none of these conditions do we see because they're taking care of themselves. I don't take the credit for it. But I do give them the feedback that they need, you know, to steer clear of these problems. Now, patients will come back to me. Sometimes I'll refer them out to other doctors. And then they come back and they tell me what the doctor says. They said, you mean you're not on any medication?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Or you mean you're 95 and no medication? You know, okay, next one. Here's another reason for hospitalizations, and that's problems with medication. Drug reactions of one sort or another led to 1.9 million, in other words, almost 2 million hospitalizations. Medications most commonly involved, you have steroids, blood thinners, sedatives, sleeping aids. You know what's missing there, and I'm sure played a big role too, was non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, not just corticosteroids. So imagine that, 2 million hospitalizations because of medication problems. I have some music. We have a few more conditions to get to, and we'll do that when we get back.
You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back with more for your good health.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're going down the list of why people go to the hospital.
So we were talking about, who's filling up those hospital beds and for what reason. So you have cardiac arrhythmias, you have congestive heart failure, you have emphysema, COPD, atherosclerosis, in other words, heart attacks and chest pain, diabetes, infection, medication problems. And so far, medication problems are the highest number, with almost 2 million people going into hospitals because of a problem with medication. Next, that we haven't gotten to yet is pneumonia. 886,000 admissions for pneumonia. And what causes that? That's, again, a drop off in your immune system. And pneumonia, contrary to what you see on TV, is not a vaccine deficiency. By the way, that vaccine is only for one type of pneumonia anyway, pneumococcal pneumonia. But you have lots of types of pneumonia. Other bacteria can cause it. Viruses can cause it. And by the way, the majority of pneumonia are viral.
So the majority of those diagnoses, the basis is viral. So antibiotics are not the appropriate focus for treating.
So then, and then other underlying conditions can predispose you to pneumonia, like diabetes. Because these weaken your immune system. Now, stroke, I don't think it's weakening the immune system so much as making you sedentary, which is a risk factor. The flu, that's weakening your immune system, probably making you sedentary. And also, any chronic illness also makes you more prone to heart attacks, because it increases your tendency to form blood clots. So, all right, pneumonia, 886,000. And then stroke, another 892,000 hospitalizations. These are problems with blood flow in the brain. So usually caused by a clot, but it can also be caused by bleeding in the brain. Bleeding in the brain usually caused by high blood pressure. And when you have a stroke, whether it's because of a clot or a bleed, you damage brain cells. So you can die from that, clearly. And a lot of people also survive it, but they're left with permanent
disabilities.
And some people, get over it a little bit, but it's always better to avoid it. So you have all these conditions. I can't think of one that couldn't be prevented if people knew what to do.
Okay, and I agree with you, Dr. Slavin. If they knew what to do with regard to their diet, their lifestyle, their sleep, and certainly supplementing different nutrients, but supplementing nutrients that they know where to focus their efforts.
So we're going to just mention a few nutrients now, and the diet we'll get to after that. So for congestive heart failure, I would say Now, the question, too, is, all right, why do people get congestive heart failure? Sometimes it could be from a virus that you contracted. It could be from little minor heart attacks that knock off some of your heart cells. It could be, I know you're thinking of statin drugs.
I was.
What else were you thinking?
I was thinking of diabetes, that diabetes kind of thick, sticky blood and increased inflammation, just making it really, really difficult for the heart to function correctly.
And then, of course, the catch-all term doctors use is cardiomyopathy. Just the muscles become weak for whatever reason.
Okay, so those muscles can become weak because of a deficiency in CoQ10. When you have very, very low levels of CoQ10, heart muscle cells begin to die off.
So here, here are the three that come to mind. I'm sure there are more, but probably the most common or most important three: vitamin C, CoQ10, and magnesium. When you're talking about the heart and circulation and things like that. And those three, by the way, probably also apply to coronary atherosclerosis. But there are more for that we need to talk about. Now, for COPD, that's a whole different ballgame, because now we're talking about smoking causing the vast majority of the problems with breathing. So, stopping smoking is going to be your best approach. You know, I tell patients who come to me for chelation, for example, and I ask them, do you smoke? No, not all of them smoke. Some do. They say you'll get a better bang for your buck if you save your money on buying cigarettes than spending it on chelation. You know, stop smoking. That's going to give you the best results. If you stop smoking, then we can talk about chelation, because smoke exposes you to heavy metals like cadmium, which is a toxic, deadly heavy metal. But stopping smoking. Now, what can you do for this? I mean, if you're smoking, you have to stop. We can give you all the supplements in the world. It's not going to be enough to counteract the damage that smoking can do.
Okay, so I find that so many of the people, they've attempted to stop smoking. And I know that you are brain perspective. You make the decision and you stop. Okay. And what about any of the drugs that are out there, the patches, yes, the gum, that kind of thing? Would you suggest that at all to anyone who's attempted the cold turkey and fallen
off? Doesn't work. Because if you haven't made up your mind to stop smoking, if you make up your mind to stop smoking, you don't need the gum and the patches. If you haven't made up your mind, you say, well, I'll take the gum and this and I'll try and taper off, but you haven't really made a commitment, then it's just not going to work for you. All the patients I've ever seen who successfully stopped smoking did it cold turkey. And I have to tell you, some of them were 4-pack-a-day smokers.
Oh, my goodness.
And they did it cold
turkey. How do you smoke that many cigarettes?
So, and let me just say another thing, that obviously the COPD or emphysema is not just related to lung disease. It's related to congestive heart failure and atherosclerosis and cancer. I mean, a lot of diseases. What's interesting on this list, cancer didn't even make this list. I mean, clearly patients are admitted for cancer, but didn't make, in other words, it's not in the top 10 or so that we spoke about.
Okay, so the COPD, one of the suggestions that I make to people is if you're smoking a pack a day, reduce it to 15 a day. The next month, you reduce it to 10 a day. The next month, you reduce it to 5. And I don't even go lower than 5. I let them make that move because they begin to feel better. Keeping in mind that you're lowering your oxygen level. Your brain needs oxygen. You need oxygen to function well. And when you stop the smoking, so many different areas of importance with regard to function in your body improve. People feel better, and ultimately they get away from the cigarettes.
What do you think of this approach? I had an uncle, this happened a long time ago, when he caught his son smoking. The way he cured him of smoking, he made him eat the pack.
Ooh.
That cured him.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Okay.
That would probably,
so,
now the government would probably knock on his door saying that's
There's been a lot of coverage on the news talk shows about Donald Trump meeting with his kids as they were growing up. No smoking, no alcohol, no drugs, no tattoos. And it looked like that very, very forceful language to his children. So for parents, that's not necessarily a bad idea.
Well, my parents set the role models, and they set the example. So, and let's see. Next, we have diabetes. Now, clearly, 90% of diabetics is all self-inflicted. They don't tell you that, by the way.
Okay, wait a minute, self-inflicted, Dr. Slavin. I was at a continuing education seminar, and the predisposition for developing diabetes can be inherited from two generations away. So if your grandmother had diabetes, the potential for you to develop diabetes is greater than the person next to you whose family has none of that genetic weakness toward developing diabetes. And then after acknowledging that, you have a greater responsibility for restricting those grain-based foods that are just as bad as consuming sugar. And people seem to think that honey might be okay, that non-caloric sweetener might be okay, but those all contribute to the development of blood sugar instability.
Well, do you believe that?
I said it, didn't I?
Well, genetics play a minor role, and but there's something called epigenomics, which is the is looking at how the environment, and the environment includes how you eat, affects your genetics. So sure, you may have a familial predisposition, but in this case, I really think the familial predisposition is less genetics and more about how you eat, because people eat the same way their parents ate, the same way their grandparents ate. So naturally, you're going to find the same conditions generation after generation.
But there are people who might not acknowledge or really understand that connection and haven't been given the information, the kind of information we give to our listeners here about making changes in their diet because of their genetic potential predisposition.
So the problem with diabetes is nobody is doing anything to prevent it. In other words, the doctors are diagnosing it when you get it, but they're not diagnosing the pre-diabetics. So nobody's doing anything about it. And what do I mean by that? What is a pre-diabetic? A pre-diabetic is someone with normal blood sugars and elevated insulin levels. So if you don't check your insulin levels and find them to be elevated, you're not going to know about it. A pre-diabetic could also be someone with a normal fasting blood sugar, but an elevated hemoglobin A1C, which is your average blood sugar over a three-month period.
It's very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because it's probably more than 15 years since I learned about testing a hemoglobin A1C on a routine blood test. And when first telling my clients to have that test, their doctors were objecting. Well, what are you going to do with that information? You just get your fasting glucose. That gives us what we need to know.
They're objecting because they don't have a drug for that. That's the problem. If a doctor doesn't have a drug for it, he says, well, you're healthy. There's no drug for that. You must be healthy. And clearly, for all these problems, before you need drugs, you need a change in lifestyle. And we have a little bit more to say about diabetes, but now we have to take a break.
And you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. More to come. Stay tuned.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. 216-2332 or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. If you want to learn what you need to know to stay out of the hospital, that's what we're talking about today. Dr. Slavin?
And we were going, you know, through a list of why people are hospitalized. And I think to a large extent, they're all preventable. Now, I'm not saying you can prevent 100% of the time. But clearly, when you talk about medication problems causing 2 million hospitalizations, I think that could be prevented 100% of the time. Diabetes, I think doctors can do a much better job of not just preventing diabetes, but controlling it. But it's a combination of, it's really up to the patient. I mean, that's the problem with all these illnesses. Patients play a role here. It's not just the doctor. If the patients aren't willing to change their diet, and you were mentioning how important exercise is, they're not willing to do that. These are the results of those not willing to do what's best for their bodies, and the doctors really can't do much. All they do is prescribe drugs. Well, the drugs aren't going to keep you out of the hospital, because if they could, the hospitals would be empty, and they're not. They're full. I mean, with the medication problems alone, 2 million hospitalizations. But all the other conditions, people are on lots of drugs for those, and they're in the hospital. So, we give you this information, and I know our listeners, they probably know all this, and maybe not on the, like we're doing it right now. But they know if you take better care of yourself, you stay healthy.
Absolutely. And just going back to diabetes for a second, Dr. Slavin, what about the people with diagnosed thyroid insufficiencies or some problem with thyroid function? How connected do you think that is with regard to developing diabetes? Do you believe that you really need to get thyroid and other hormones under control, and that is also part of that picture?
You bring up a good point. Hormones, sex hormones, thyroid hormones are associated with, cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, coronary atherosclerosis, diabetes, infection, pneumonia, because infection and pneumonia are really a breakdown in your immune system, which your hormones can help support, and, even stroke. And the other one I left out because that's, is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, because taking hormones. And this is the point I'm trying to make, is you can take every step and do everything you read about to make yourself healthy, but if you don't quit smoking, nothing's going to work. So, but the hormones play a big role too. So we talked about nutrients, but restoring hormone levels to a more youthful level also plays a role. And I think that's part of the reason why mainstream medicine is really against bioidentical hormones and the use of hormones, because there, if you're for that, you can't be for drugs, because when you take the hormones, you reduce the need for drugs.
Across the board, you will take care of symptomatic developments that lead you to a doctor, and the doctor to write a prescription for you. So hormone balance is very, very basic.
Now, the reason diabetes is so important to prevent and despite what you said earlier, I think you can prevent a great number of people from developing diabetes, but they have to do it themselves. The doctor can't do it with drugs. But you have to identify the people at risk, and those are the ones with rising fasting insulin levels. And you know what? You can have a normal fasting insulin level, but the most sensitive gauge of insulin resistance is a level of insulin after eating that's way too high. So,
okay, I have a question about another substance that is kind of in the diabetes discussion, certainly in the weight management area, is leptin levels. Are those levels ever tested on a routine basis for diabetics? Because so many of the diabetics say, I'm always hungry. I never feel full. And that would have to do with their leptin levels.
Well, I think the leptin level is a response to how they're eating. If you eat properly, and by properly meaning, you really have to cut back on the carbohydrates. And that's not just for diabetics. That's for everybody. You know, people fall into one or two categories, either diabetic or pre-diabetic. I mean, that's it.
Okay.
And you want to know if you're pre-diabetic, because a lot of the people in that category might want to make changes because they didn't realize that maybe their diet is promoting that. I had a patient yesterday. Her insulin level was a little bit higher than ideal. Ideal, I would say, is really, you know, around 5 or 6. I mean, those are great levels for a fasting insulin level. Although I think
I'm going to say those have to be pretty rare.
Right. Not, yeah. And I think the levels considered to be normal probably go up to 10 or even a little bit higher.
I thought higher. Yeah.
Yeah. But lower is much better. And then I pointed out, she said, but I hardly eat any grains and I don't eat bread. And then we got into some of the ethnic foods that she likes, like rice and bananas and mangoes. And I said, you know, those are all very high glycemic foods. They're going to create a problem for you. So here you have foods that wouldn't necessarily ever be considered as junk food because people think, well, I'm not eating junk food. But these are foods that have a high glycemic index and will create insulin resistance over time.
Where do you stand on beans, Dr. Slavin?
Beans are a good choice.
Okay, so those are carbohydrates. Those are starchy carbohydrates.
But they have protein in there, too.
And they have fiber, and they're full of minerals. So they're very, very satisfying for a diabetic, but very reasonable in reasonable serving sizes to take the place of some of those comforting, starchy grain carbs that people tend to go toward.
So, you know, diabetics are a large portion of the population now. The type 2 diabetics, you know, a lot of people in that category. There's a lot they could have done to prevent their condition. And they're not even being told that they could reverse it. They're being told, take these drugs.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Okay. Do you have a position on metformin? Metformin seems to be in the news quite a bit lately because they're talking about it being so beneficial with regard to diabetics as well as beneficial in reducing the risk of developing some types of cancer. So sometimes the people are seeing a little bit of weight loss, which is a benefit for diabetics. But the metformin, here's a very commonly prescribed drug when you've been diagnosed with diabetes or blood sugar instabilities. And there certainly are risks associated with it.
And I've been to conferences where doctors, you know, with my mindset, are promoting metformin. I don't happen to agree. I don't think, you know, I'm more for more natural things. But on the other hand, if you can't control your blood sugar through diet and exercise, then you're forced to control it with the addition of some medication. So that would be a medication. But to your point about using it as a longevity drug, I think you can do a lot better by changing your diet and exercising and improving your lifestyle. So diabetes is really important because it's also a risk factor for stroke and heart attacks.
Infection.
And infection as well. We mentioned pneumonia being the number one reason why people get admitted to the hospital with infections. Again, lack of exercise. Now, here's the thing about the lungs. When you exercise, if you do any, well, I think as we get older, people tend to do less and less exercise. But you have to do the right kind, and the right kind is what's commonly talked about now is high-intensity interval training, because that type of exercise challenges your lungs. If you do a workout where you're less than high-intensity, you're not challenging your lungs. And that's really the organ that gives way. How often do you hear people say they were in the hospital, they died of pneumonia?
Very, very frequent situation.
In fact, that was always common from bed rest. And now, you know, they get people out of bed as quickly as possible after surgery. They want you sitting around. They want you moving around. So it's just something you want to be aware of. So pneumonia, you want to, again, exercise is important. You can even do breathing exercises specifically. Incentive spirometry. You know what that is if you've ever been a patient in a hospital. You know what that is.
You have to blow into that little tube and make the ball go high.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
That's exercise for your lungs. It's a good thing.
Okay.
You take a deep breath. It makes you move air. It strengthens the muscles of breathing. And last, we want to get to medication problems. I said that's 100% avoidable. Avoid the medication. If you allow yourself to get so sick that you need medication, then you have to, but they have two categories here.
Wait a minute. Dr. Slavin, you said if you allow yourself to get so sick that you need medication. Okay, so many people are seeing their doctors. And what do their doctors say when they see something off on the blood test results? Or what do they say when the people are reporting a very minor symptom? Well, let's just wait and see. Let's just watch it. Mm-hmm. Let's just see where this is going. You know, it may go just the way it came. That's very frequently what they're hearing from their doctors. Let's wait and see. Let's watch it. In 3 months, we'll retest.
Basically, they're saying it when it gets bad enough, we'll give you a drug.
Exactly.
That's what they're thinking, because they don't know what to do aside from prescribing a drug. So, but what I'm getting, the two categories mentioned there, sedatives and sleep aids. Now, that's because you're not addressing why people are having problems with sleeping. It could be hormonal. It could be dietary. It could be stress. It's not a deficiency of a sedative. Those are the benzodiazepines or the sleep aids, you know, the sleeping pills. Now, occasionally someone needs help, yes. But to be on those kind of drugs on a long-term regular basis is not a good choice.
But it is a good choice to stay tuned to Natural Doc Radio, because this is where you're going to learn about the ways to improve your good health. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. I want to say that one of the areas that for all of the different causes of hospitalization that we're talking about here this morning, antioxidant support. You're going to enhance how your cells work with antioxidant status, and you're going to minimize the potential damage to your cells that are caused by a variety of different exposures that we have just moving through life and preparing our meals. So you want to pay very close attention to your antioxidant status.
Now, we were talking about the medications and the category of sedatives and sleep aids. No, a lot of times when you replace or you do bioidentical hormone replacement, corrects those problems. It's a decline in those hormones that, you know, you talk about postmenopausal women or men in the same age group. There was a movie about that called Grumpy Old Men, you know, sort of low testosterone levels. You correct the hormones, and those issues tend to disappear. Pneumonia, how do we keep up our immune system? You mentioned antioxidants. Things that can undermine the immune system, lack of sleep, too much sugar and carbohydrate intake.
That'll neutralize antioxidants.
Depresses the immune system. So it's how you take care of yourself. Exercise strengthens your immune system. So these are all the things that need to be done. And now here's a big one. You had almost 1 million people hospitalized with stroke. Why can't the doctors do a better job preventing that? Well, because they're prescribing drugs. And I think the only drug they prescribe for that is probably a low-dose aspirin or something like that. But that's not the way to go. Another cause of stroke that isn't necessarily in here. They said stroke is caused by either a blood clot or a burst blood vessel in the brain from high blood pressure usually. Could be from AVM, arterial venous malformation. That's a congenital problem, but the more common one is a high blood pressure. But they mentioned the one of the other causes of hospitalizations is the cardiac arrhythmias. Atrial fibrillation is a common cause of stroke because the blood clot forms in the heart and then it embolizes and goes to the brain, gives you a stroke. Or the carotid arteries can become affected by atherosclerosis, yeah, and a little bit of plaque breaks off and gives you a stroke.
What about dehydration?
Dehydration, too, because that also is going to diminish blood flow and make blood clotting increase. So I'm trying to think. So what can one do to lower their risk of getting a stroke? Well, I think there are certain supplements. Well, first of all, you said make sure you drink enough water, number one. Certain supplements, I think, can help. Let me put it, the lack of these nutrients, I think, tend to thicken the blood. So
absolutely.
If you take vitamin E and fish oil, you thin the blood out, but really you're normalizing the blood. And I think vitamin C plays a role there. I think vitamin C deficiencies are extremely common. How do I know? Because we measure the levels and everybody's low in it, just like they're
really
low in vitamin D, and they're low in all the, you know what? CoQ10 is low, fish oils are low, vitamin C is low. I mean, it's amazing how deficient everything, magnesium, major and important nutrient to take, because deficiencies in magnesium can cause high blood pressure, can cause vasospasm, which it can cause cardiac arrhythmias. So, I mean, just so much can be looked for if you weren't just a doctor prescribing drugs.
What about pH balance? Do you often see very low pH balance or pH levels in your patients?
The only way to really check pH that's accurate is an arterial pH, and we don't do that.
Okay, so urinary pH or saliva pH doesn't tell you very much?
Not enough, because your body is going to compensate always. It's going to maintain your pH within a very narrow range, because if you don't, serious things happen to it. So, you're talking about how do you maintain a more alkaline pH? You know, don't overdo it with the protein or the soda beverages. Now, the interesting thing, they say the number of people drinking soda is declining, so that's a good thing.
Oh, Coca-Cola and Pepsi are struggling with that.
But what are they switching to? They're probably switching to other sweetened beverages.
Right. They're doing a lot of juices that unfortunately still contain high fructose corn syrup. And one of the things that I just discovered over the past few days was take a look at the country of origin of your very, very well-known brands of fruit juices. And they're coming from...
Oh, you mentioned that the other day in the hospital. You saw that.
Right. It was shocking to me. Yeah. So you really are doing as much damage with regard to maintaining a very highly acidic and therefore potentially inflamed body chemistry when you're consuming these fruit juices.
Not to mention the heavy metal content in them, because coming from China... They're notorious for having heavy metals in their foods because their environment is polluted. The soils are polluted. Very hard to avoid that kind of problem. Then they're packaged in plastic, and then who knows what else. So, it almost comes to the point is that if you don't make it yourself, you probably shouldn't be eating it or drinking it. So you want to, in other words, get the raw ingredients. In other words, you choose the fruit yourself and you make the juice yourself, although I always counsel against avoiding the juice, too much sugar.
Okay,
juice.
You don't necessarily even have to make the juice. One of the things that's very, very refreshing, we talk about lemon and lime water all the time. You can do a little bit of watermelon water. You can do a little bit of berry water. So some of those berries added to really pure water, leave it to kind of mix for a few hours. Absolutely delicious and not too high in sugar.
And then just talking about the immune system, we have patients coming in on a regular basis, maybe once a month. They get their IV vitamin C or they get their ultraviolet blood treatment just to maintain a healthy immune system and get rid of subclinical infections. In other words, that means an infection in your body that you don't know about. So you want to help your body control those things.
And okay, so subclinical infection, you wouldn't necessarily see your white blood cells significantly elevated. And so what relation might you see, Dr. Slavin, with those subclinical infections and the potential for an elevated blood sugar and a pre-diabetic condition?
Well, the stress of an infection can raise your blood sugar, raise your insulin levels, the stress of that. But I did want to, before we run out of time today, just go through that list again of why people get into the hospital. And this is for older adults. And younger adults, you're not going to see these problems as much. For them, it's going to be accidents for the most part. You know, that's what happens. They hurt themselves, they go to the hospital. But these are... diseases of aging, the cardiac arrhythmias, congestive heart failure, coronary atherosclerosis, diabetes, infection, medication problems was the number one reason as far as numbers of hospitalizations.
Highest numbers of people.
You know, almost 2 million a year because of medication problems. Then you have pneumonia and stroke. There are more reasons to be hospitalized, but those are the most common.
What about complications after vaccines? We don't even... quantify those.
Yeah, well, and not all, and they don't always make it to the hospital.
Right.
They, you know, they treat it as an outpatient, but lots of problems. But every one of these, except for the emphysema COPD, that one you have to stop smoking. But okay, so for every one of these, the individual has great control over his destiny. I think that's the point we're trying to make. If you only knew what you had to do to lower your risk of these problems, so you don't wind up being in a hospital, because that's the point. If the doctor and the patient can't keep these problems under control to avoid hospitalization, how are they going to treat you once you're in the hospital with these problems? See, it doesn't make any sense to me.
More medication, more side effects, more interaction between among the medications that may be very, very injurious.
So these were the most common reasons for hospitalizations in older adults. For tomorrow's show, I'm going to see if I can find statistics on what people die from in the hospital.
Okay. Well, we'll also give our listeners a little bit of information how to protect yourself from death. That Dr. Grieger's book, How Not to Die. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.